Drove down to McAllen, across the border at Reynoso, and about 5 hours into a town called Padilla and Victoria. And the first night of our service, I mean, beautiful night, clear, sun shining. The house is full, and they have a garage in the back. They got a canvas over it, and the music team is there, and the pastor whispers to my wife's ear, "It's 50 Celsius. That's 122 degrees. I told them, "We're not going back in August." Every day it was like 108, 110. But you know what? It didn't stop the power of God. The power of God was so strong. And people got saved. Thank you for your prayers. We went up into this. They said, "We have a mountain church to go to Saturday night." And so we're following another person that knows how to get there. And we go on this trail. It's like going back in the timber through the grass field or your hay field. And we're going through this little, and up the hill, and there's little trees there. And finally we get this beautiful church built on the side of the mountain, made out of slabs, painted green, beautiful. Had generators running because they have no electricity up there. And the place is packed, full. And the worship team was awesome. They knew how to worship God. We got up to minister, and the power of God was so strong. Just to say you're a part of the harvest, when we gave the invitation for salvation, over 20 people raised their hands that night. We prayed with them. Then the rededication, almost another 20 people. And then about another 20 people we prayed for health issues. But this is what God is doing in many parts of the world. Not us, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. And people's lives are changing. And so we figured, we don't know. I don't like to sit there, 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't like to count. But we know that many souls come to Jesus just a couple of weeks ago. And you're part of that harvest here in this church. Because you pray for us, you cover us, you give to us. And it means all the world to Shirley and myself, and more to the throne of God. Because every time one sinner repents, what does it say? The angels in heaven rejoice. There's a party. So we love to be a part of that party. Hallelujah. Tonight, I believe that when you came to the Lord, there was a party. And the angels of heaven are still rejoicing that you're a part of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. There's some great people among us tonight. I mean, if I look, there's pastors and leaders that God has chosen. I mean, I look at this woman of God right here. I mean, she's a leader. God has chosen her. You're going to agree with me, right? God has said some things to me about you, that you're just beginning to rise up in the call of God on your life. And there's a new, there's a new field of service that he's opening up to you. And it's just begun. And I'm excited to know that God is in charge of all of that. So whatever negative things that people have said, just put your fingers in your ears and trust the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. There's an anointing on this woman of God. She loves the touch of God. And God's touching her tonight. There's some things that he's working through you. And those kids are screaming out for help. The Lord says, "I'm going to use you, daughter, to touch their lives. You have no idea what I have prepared for you," says the Lord. "But you're not finished. You're just beginning." Hallelujah. So there's another book that's going to be written. Oh, hallelujah. I'll preach in a minute. But it's not over when they say it's over, sister. When the church says it's finished, when the world says it's finished, it's not finished, because the Lord says, "I have a call on your life, and you will fulfill that call. It's not finished till I say it's finished." So tonight the Lord says, lift up your hands that are heavy and your knees that seem to be weak at times. The Lord says, "I'm going to put strength in your arms. I'm going to put strength in your legs, but I'm going to put my voice in you. And I'm going to release." There's something that's been bottled up. It's like you could scream tonight, you know, you could just scream and let it all out. But the Lord says, "I'm going to let it out easy," just like we let the air out of a balloon, you know, little by little. But the Lord says, "You are birthing a new season in your life." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, this young man, God just says he loves you a lot. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord has led me to do a little teaching on the issues of the heart. I know we all want to hear this. It's so exciting to talk about our heart, right? So I want to talk about that for a few moments. If you'll put up the scripture out of Jeremiah this evening. Chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord. I want to stop there for a moment. But I, the Lord. We have a personal God. He's not just sitting up there on a throne that's covered with gold and has his legs crossed and watching over the earth. No, he says, I, the Lord. He's personal to each of us. He knows each of our hearts. He knows the desires of our hearts. He knows what we need more than we know what we need. And he's up. Fact is, he's here tonight. He's here tonight. Amen? And he says, I, the Lord. But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. Now that might scare you a little bit. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It brings life. It brings hope. It brings conviction. It helps renew us and make us who you want us to be. Father, tonight help us submit to your word. In the name of Jesus. Amen. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not literally talking about the heart that's pumping the blood in your life. It's talking about your intellect, your moral and emotional functions, one's inner being. That's what it talks about when it talks about the heart. So the Lord is saying, I search your deceitful, deceptive, extremely sick, as the Amplified says, heart. And I check it out. I examine all your secret motives. You know God knows what you're doing. He does. He knows exactly what's going on. Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. But the love of God is what makes the difference between the unjust judge and the righteous judgment. The love of God is what changes us and brings us to a place of healing and restoration. The love of God gives us hope. The Word of God always gives us hope. It always brings life. There is judgment in the Word of God, yes. But if we obey the Word of God, there's hope. There's life. I tell you what, not a better life. 1.5 million people have heart attacks and strokes every year in the United States of America. 1.5 million. Out of those 1.5 million, 800,000 die from heart disease. One in three deaths are heart-related. And 160,000 of those die under the age of 65. Every 40 seconds, someone in the U.S. has a heart attack. Kind of scary. I have a whole list of things that cause heart attacks. The normal heart, when I looked it up, beats from 60 to 80 times a minute, and some people's is 90, 120. But the normal heart, they say, beats from 60 to 80 times a minute. We have some nurses and doctors in here, and you know better than I do. But God is saying something here. He says the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is but I, the Lord? I'm going to stop there. The Lord knows who you are, who I am. Not putting condemnation on anyone. This is the Word of God. It brings life. Amen. It also exposes sin. Remember when Nathaniel the prophet went to David and said, you messed up with Bathsheba and exposed his sin. And then the psalmist cries out in Psalms 51, 9 and 10. I'm going to have them put that up there. 10 and 11, I guess it is, sorry. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. If you go to verse 17, he says he wants a repentive heart. That's what God is looking for, is a repentive heart. He wants us to open up to him with what's in our heart, the evil that's in our heart. He wants us to repent of the evil that's in their heart. In the beginning, God created man in his own image. He gave him a free will. He didn't want man to serve him because he had to. God wanted man to serve him because he wanted to. When I say man, that means the human race, men and women. We know the story of Adam and Eve, the freedom they had in their relationship with God. Every day they walked with God, talked with him. There was open communication. God made them free. Hallelujah. He blessed them. He gave them everything they needed. So they had a free will, and they were able to choose their life. What did they do? We know. They went against God's commandment. In Genesis 6 and verse 5, you don't have it up there, so don't try to find it. Don't worry about it. It says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he wanted to destroy everyone that he had created. And if you continue to read, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was the only righteous man that God could turn to. He lived right before the Lord. But the rest of his creation, listen to me, the rest of his creation had evil heart and evil thoughts and evil intents. But he found a man that was willing to stand up and live right before the Lord. And that's what God is calling for us tonight as a church. Are we willing, when the whole world is going crazy and living in sin and disobedience and doing everything against God, are we willing to stand up so that God can count upon us and says, there's a righteous woman, there's a righteous man, I can use them? And we know that Noah ushered in Jesus Christ through his lineage. Good or evil, obey or disobey, we have that choice. We have a free will. What will you choose? Well, you say, well, if I have a deceitful heart, I'm probably going to choose sin, right? We know that when they sinned, they went from the dispensation of innocence to a conscience. I think Brother Ross talked about dispensations in Sunday school class. They went from innocence, the first dispensation, change from innocence to a conscience, knowing good and evil. But then the cover-up began, and this is what I want to talk about for a few moments. Sin is all evil. Oh, I can sin a little and it's okay. No, sin is evil. Sin is against God. Sin is against the commandment of God. The heart becomes untamed. And then you take the heart and you connect it to the tongue, you have a big problem. But religion doesn't change the heart. If you're taking notes, I'm talking about the issues of the heart. And this is number one point. Religion doesn't change the heart. In fact, it becomes more of a cover-up in religion. Are you listening? I grew up in a very religious sect. There's a lot of cover up there. In Matthew 15, and we'll have the scripture up here in a moment, 15 verses 8 and 9. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commandments from God. You got to read that whole chapter to really see why Jesus was so upset. They're trying to push the law on him. They're trying to push rituals on Jesus and his disciples. And he said, so they say, oh, Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God. But their heart wasn't with him. And later, Jesus really, he really comes against the religious leaders of that day. Matthew 23:27, and you don't have it up there. Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. So religion just covers it up. The Lord wants an inner purity in our life, not a cover up. Not a looks good, dresses good, talks good. Yes, we should do all of those things, but with a pure heart, with a changed heart. Not because of rules and traditions. I think it was Pastor Dan that spoke many times about Jesus plus, and so many religions. Yes, Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, but plus all of these things that you have to do. Because if you don't do these things, you're not going to go to heaven. So if we have a deceitful heart and you have a deceitful heart and I have a deceitful heart, where does our hope come from? How can we go on in this life? How can we change from evil to good? We have to go to the heart changer. And my wife tells people that John Helmuth, he can fix about anything. He can do mechanic work and electrical work and plumbing and do this and carpenter work. And I can do a lot of those things, but I can't fix a broken heart. I can't change a broken heart. I can't change an evil heart. But we have someone who does. Jesus. Jesus is the heart changer tonight. Hallelujah. You need a changed heart, then you have to get close to Jesus. If your heart is evil, then you get to the place where the purity is. He's our only hope. Jesus walked on this earth pure, never sinned. And he said, if you want to see God, then you have to have a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And if you want to see God, you want to be in, oh, hallelujah, you want to be in his presence forever and ever and ever, eternity, then you have to have a pure heart. You have to ask God to cleanse your heart. Hallelujah. Everything evil comes from a sinful heart. Jesus talked on in Matthew 15, and I want to read 18. It says, the words you speak come from the heart. Matthew 15, 18. The words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, thefts, lying, and slander. Does that sound like our world today? That last part, well, fact is every one of them. But some of the last ones, lying and slander. If you listen to the news, that's really all you hear. Lying and slander. But we see all of these things taking place. If you go to verse 20, the beginning, that's what defiles you, Jesus said. These things defile you. How can we change? First thing, we have to recognize that we have an evil heart. I don't know, you don't like to hear that, do you? I don't like to hear that. Recognize that our heart needs to be changed. I know you've given your life to the Lord, and maybe I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the world or to another church. I don't know. But we are sinners, right? Saved by grace, forgiven of the Lord. But the healing starts when we realize we need help. The change begins when we cry out to God for help. People try many different ways to solve their problems because they recognize they have an evil heart, so they start doing these things and not doing these things to try to get their heart to a place where they think it's pure. But only God can change your heart. Amen? We see this hope of change in the exchange between Samuel and Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel, and Samuel was called by the Lord to go anoint, find that king, and then pour the oil on him and anoint him as king of Israel. And when Saul found him, he began to prophesy to him. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." This is in 1 Samuel 10. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." Verse 9, "And so it was when he turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day." So what did Saul mess up so bad in the end then, if he had a different heart? That's what we say, right? He was such a great king. He was so intelligent. He did a great job of leading the people, but in the end of his life, he messed up. Why did he do that? Because he stopped listening to the Holy Spirit. He started listening to his wicked wives. Women, be careful. I mean, where'd that come from? His wicked wives took him away from the Lord. So anything that's wicked in our life that draws us away from God is causes impurity in our lives and causes us to turn away from what God wanted to do and God did. So the Holy Spirit changed Saul at that day that Samuel anointed him and Samuel prophesied over him. The Holy Spirit came and changed Saul and gave him another heart. But he allowed his heart to be polluted again. And so you come to the altar, you ask, cry out to God, "Please forgive me, change me, make me a new person." And I believe he will. I don't have any doubt. But you can't keep walking in that same sin because it'll repollute your heart. You have to make a difference. And the Bible says, repent. We try to stop doing this. We try to stop, but we're still evil. And in the natural, the doctor will tell you, if you want to live a long time, if you want a healthy heart, stop eating so much, stop smoking, get away from all that stress, you know, eat fruits and vegetables, do this, don't do that. And it really helps. But we have help as well in the Spirit. We have an instruction book. It's called the Holy Bible. Hallelujah. God's Word. We have the Holy Spirit. And if we will read the Word of God and follow the instructions He gives us, this is an instruction book. If all else fails, what do we usually say? Read the instructions, right? We have an instruction book. And if we will follow the instruction book, we can have a healthy heart. But it starts with Acts 3 and verse 19. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." What does it say? So that the time of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. It's been a while since you felt the presence of God. Why? Because you haven't repented. We're sinners. We live in a sinful world. We sin daily. We need to repent daily. That's my personal opinion. I believe that we stand before the Lord. We need to have a repentive spirit and a repentive attitude, because we are no one without Him. So the first sign of relief from a sinful heart: repent. Change your ways. People come to the altar and I said, "I'm sorry for cussing today," and they go back out and cuss again. They haven't been converted. There needs to be a conversion of your mouth and your attitude or your heart. So you want to be refreshed, renewed, and restored. Hallelujah. What did God say to this lady over here? That God was going to restore the children. Hallelujah. That God was going to do a new work. But it starts when we realize that we need help. It starts when you begin to verbalize it. Now, I just had a birthday last week, I guess it was, and somebody sent me a text and they said, "Just say you're 50 and keep repeating it. I'm 50, I'm 50, I'm 50, I'm 50, I'm 50. Well, it didn't change anything from what I am. I'm still old man. But you know, if we begin to repeat the word of God, it does change things. What does Romans 10 and 9 and 10 say? We'll read it for you. The word, in verse 8, it says, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Starting with verse 8, Romans 10. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And how's it come we're quiet? Because of the conscience. The devil puts guilt on us. He said, "Jamie, you're finished. You have no place anymore in the throne of God, in the kingdom of God, because you messed up." Didn't he? But see, he wasn't the authority. That was the devil. God says, "I have a beautiful woman for you, that God has a plan for her and the both of you together to bring people into the kingdom of God. And I see a whole flock that's waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ through the words that she speaks and the music that you play." See, it's not finished, because that wasn't God speaking. That was the devil. So the devil speaks to give us hopelessness, but God speaks to give us hope. And he's already spoken. Hallelujah. He's already spoken. Do you believe that tonight? He's already spoken. Hallelujah. There's hope. Even in the most ridiculous, hopeless situations. And we've been there. We've all been there. Anybody a saint here never been through any problems? Not a person raise their hand, huh? Wow. I thought for a while I was going to be in trouble. Begin to speak it. Begin to believe it. Begin to verbalize it. Hallelujah. "I confess the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe it in my heart. I want a pure heart. I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to do those things that are wrong anymore." Hallelujah. See, the Holy Spirit comes. Romans 8, 26 and 27. You know what it says? "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." We have an intercessor. that is aligning with us as we pray in the Holy Spirit, aligning with us to bring us into the plan of God for our lives and to bring us into a place where we feel close to God and we can hear His voice and He says, I have a plan for you. We can hear Him say, I have a plan for you. We can hear Him say, I love you, son, there's hope. There's really some great days ahead of you. I see God's calling you to some things you never thought would ever be possible. I see that in the Spirit, okay, is that okay? It's not finished. It's not like you think it is. It's like, wow, God, do you really care about me that much? He does. Hallelujah. So He's made a way for you when everybody else thinks it's finished. Tonight, God's opening a door for you. Hallelujah. To bring a change. To give you hope. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, we verbalize it. I believe God. I believe God. It shall be done even as He said. Trust and obey. Hallelujah. I don't think you want me singing, but anyway. See, we're not finished yet. You're not finished yet. There's an anointing that you're walking into that's going to bring such a release of power and authority in your life for you, yourself, your children, your grandchildren. That door is open tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, God knows what He's doing. I don't. But we need to find the will of God by praying in the Spirit so we align our spirit. We align our spirit with the throne of God and the plan of God. That's done how? By repenting, confessing, conversion, renewal. Brothers and sisters praying with you, speaking with you, encouraging you. Hallelujah. But the Word of God says that it's in your mouth and in your heart. Right there. Tip of your tongue. I believe! Story of an old, I don't know if there are Bohemian people in here, that's okay if you are, but I had a gentleman who drove cars for me after he retired as a blacksmith, and he drove cars from Kansas City, Des Moines, wherever, and he was a Bohemian, and he was rough and tough, a blacksmith in town. His vocabulary was, he made a good preacher if he could have rearranged his vocabulary. But God touched his life, and I talked to him about salvation, and he said, well, I believe being good and living a good life is, I'm honest, and I treat people good, and I give to people. And I said, those are good traits. You know, it's really good to live a life like that. But I said, the Bible says we have to confess our sins and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior if we're going to be in heaven. So that conversation ended that day. But he kept working with me, and I had the opportunity one more time, presented it the same way, and I got the same answer. He had a heart attack later. Ended up in the hospital. And the Lord said, go speak to him. So I went into his room after I went in late, made sure there was no one else in the room. And I said, what about Jesus? Yes, I believe. That quick. But you put the seed out there. It's right there. Right there. The tip of your tongue. What do you want tonight? You want a pure heart? Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. I got to hurry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord. See, the Lord spoke to me this morning during worship. He said, I desire to set people free. I desire that my people walk in freedom, but you've held me hostage. I said, hostage? How have we held you hostage, Lord? You don't let me move. You don't let me move in your life. So you're bound up. The one you're supposed to hold hostage is the devil, not me. And I heard those words so clearly. So maybe we better look at our lives and see what we're doing. See, God wants and desires to move in our lives. But we put him in a corner and we put guards around him and said, don't you dare, you know. We hold him hostage because he's here to move into our lives, to bring a change. Hallelujah. This last part of this message. The Pharisees, the religious people, came to Jesus. And a really smart Pharisee. He was a lawyer. He was one of the smartest ones. They came to Jesus, tempting him, and they said, teacher. They didn't call him master. They said, teacher. I don't know if I have that up there or not. Matthew 22, 36 and 37. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It wasn't another law. It wasn't another rule. Jesus came to fulfill the law, but the Pharisees didn't accept Jesus, so they continued on with their law and their man-made rules. So now they're trying to trick Jesus, but you can't trick Jesus. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He told them to change who they were. Who were they? They were full of themselves, right? He told them to have a complete renewal in every area of who they are. Their intellect, their motives, their intentions. Body, soul, spirit. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He said, you need an intellectual change. You need a motive change. You need an intention change. And is he saying that to the church? Is he saying that to the world? But is he saying that to us tonight? That we're full of ourselves, that we need God to intervene in our motives, our intentions, our thought life. What have we made ourselves look like, huh? We're dressed up good, we smell good, but inside our heart, we have a secret place with a lock and a combination that nobody knows but us, right? No, you're wrong. You have that secret place, you've reserved it. Nobody knows about it. And you're the only one that has the key or the combination. But I think I read something at the beginning of the service. Jeremiah 17:10 says, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. And I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. He knows the combination to your secret place. He has the key. And he wants you to open up your heart and your soul and bring purity into your life. No more fear that somebody's going to discover your secret. You know, if you have a secret, you're always worried that somebody's going to find out about that secret. Am I right? Or am I just blowing steam tonight? Am I right? Amen. If you have a secret, somebody's going to find out about it, right? Well, nobody knows about it, but he knows about it already. Hallelujah. And he searches out that secret motive, and he wants you to come. Hallelujah. He wants you to be set free tonight. He doesn't want you to harbor or keep that secret away from him. Not everybody in this room has to know what that secret is. He already knows what it is. He just wants you to open up and confess it. Okay, enough stirring the pot there. Okay, Jesus says, if you give your life to me, I'm going to open up a whole new world for you. The world will change for you if you give it all to him. You begin to see through the eyes of the Lord and begin to see God's love and how he's releasing it to all people. And you'll start loving your neighbor. That was the second commandment that he gave. And it really kind of goes away from this heart message, but it doesn't. Who's your neighbor? The guy that lives across the street, right? Guy down the block, right? He's your neighbor. anyone who needs God's love, like the Good Samaritan, anyone who needs Christ as their Lord and Savior, anyone who needs to be set free and delivered and have a Savior, anyone who is sick and needs a miracle of healing, anyone who is crying out for help and don't know how to get help, even wanting food and clothes, that's your neighbor. Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first commandment. The second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. You wouldn't go without food. You wouldn't go without clothes. You make sure that you got that soda ready and everything that you need. Hallelujah. It's not about how good I am or you are. It's about our heart. What needs to change tonight? Is there anything that needs to change in your life tonight? You don't have to tell me, tell God. You have a free will, just like Adam and Eve. You can do what you want. You can choose to live the way you want to choose. We live in America, a land of opportunity. But if you need to change something and you decide to give God what needs to be changed, your life will take a turn for His glory. Hallelujah. You can change if you give everything to the Lord. We know that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone comes to Christ, he is what? A new creation. All things are passed away. Old things are passed away. All things become new. That's the word of God. If you come to Christ, there's a transformation. The old things pass away, and all things become new. We put up Psalms 139. This is our prayer tonight. We're going to close with this. I don't know if this is what you're expecting, but this is what you're getting. Hallelujah. God knows what He's doing. Put the next verse up and then we'll go back to 23 again, if you would. I just want you to read that before I read it. Go back to 23 again. This is our prayer tonight. I want to close with that. If this is what you want, then let's repeat it together. If this is what you desire tonight, then let's repeat this prayer together. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. And now as we close our eyes for a few moments, I want this to sink. The Lord has told me to do it this way. I want this to sink deep in your heart, deep in your mind. Is there really something that you've hidden that you need to be freed and expose it to God? Not to me. But expose it to God. He already knows what it is, but He wants you to be open and honest before Him. So we're going to pray. Father, we're sinful. We live in a sinful world. We take on sinful attitudes and thoughts. We see sinful things and sometimes desire to be a part of that, Lord. We are a mess, but you come into our lives and you've said you want purity in our lives. You want us to be honest with you and repent and change so that you can refresh us and restore us and renew us and make us who you want us to be. You have a call on our lives, Lord, to be a witness and an example. So, Father, we cry out for forgiveness tonight. for any shady thing, anything that we've done that's wrong, anything that we've tried to hide from you that's evil and sinful, Lord. We repent of that tonight, Lord. Because when the winds and the rains come and the storms come, we believe that our anchor is upon the rock that you have for us, Lord, and we will not be shaken, but we will stand strong, Lord. So bring your refreshing and anointing by the power of the Holy Spirit, even as you changed Saul's heart that very day and gave him a new heart and a new life, Lord. We cry out that you will give us a pure heart tonight, that you will make us pillars in your kingdom. You'll make us sons and daughters you're proud of, Lord. We are royalty and you have redeemed us. Thank you, Lord. You have forgiven us, and we thank you, Lord. Now we want to serve you with all of who we are and what we are. So tonight, Lord, change what needs to be changed. Expose what needs to be exposed. And make us the joy of your salvation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We're always here for prayer. Afterwards, if you want prayer, Pastor Sonny.
He's going to be here for a few more minutes tonight, and if you would stand with me quickly. The altars are open tonight, and that is a very, very, it's an old chorus that you were singing, John. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. See if there be some wicked way in me. And I think that's a prayer that we all need to present to the Lord from time to time. Because life is messy. And we try to work so many things out by ourselves. I heard someone preach the other day and they said, everybody wants a miracle, but nobody wants to put themselves in a position to receive the miracle. We all want one. But we won't put ourselves in the position. If we're running low on finances, our first thought is, well, I've got some things over here. I can go to the bank and get some money. Instead of spending time on our knees to ask God to meet the financial need. And we keep asking for miracles, but we don't ever open the door that God is the clear way that could only make that happen. And part of whatever Pastor Morgan was speaking this morning ties in with what John was speaking tonight. To search my heart, Lord. Worship involves so many ways. Your life should be an act of worship, not just something you do on Sunday. It's all about Him. So as Walter sings another song tonight, John and Shirley are here for prayer, and I'm going to open the altars. If God is speaking to your heart tonight, just for a moment or two, you want to sit and address with Him, you want to repent of not letting Him search your heart, not letting Him find those hidden things that are there that are keeping us from finding Him in His glory. These altars are open. If you must go, please go quietly and contain speaking out in the foyer, if you would, in reverence to what God is going to do here. And we'll be careful to thank you for that. We really want to just encourage that. So, Walter, while you sing, as he sings, if you want to come and pray, please do. Please see John and Shirley if you'd like special prayer tonight.